From high atop Rocky Road in Moab, Utah, it's KZMU News. I'm Molly Marcello.
On Friday, the Bureau of Land Management announced new rules around oil and gas drilling on public lands. The minimum bond for drilling has now increased from $10,000 to $150,000. Suzanne O'Neill, the executive director of the Colorado Wildlife Federation, says environmental groups have been calling for this change for years to cover the cost of cleanup of abandoned wells and pipelines.
We have quite a few orphan wells, which means wells that are abandoned and the owners can't even be found or out of business, which means taxpayers and government have to pick up pretty hefty bills for cleanup and remediation.
The new rules also mean the BLM will focus oil and gas leasing in areas that have the highest potential for development and the least conflict with other uses. This is something O'Neill says her organization and other environmental groups have been calling for.
Because in the past, some areas have been in the quarterly lease sales that have little or no oil and gas development potential, but they are squarely located within high priority habitats. And in those cases, we have always urged not leasing those parcels or deferring those parcels. We're talking about severe elk and deer winter range, bighorn sheep winter range, migration corridors, birthing areas, you know, important habitat like that.
O'Neill says overall, the new rules rebalance the work of the Bureau of Land Management so public lands will benefit all users, not just oil and gas companies.
In the past administration, the focus was on energy predominance. And now we're back at a balance because there's so many other competing uses for our public lands. In addition to energy, which is critical wildlife habitats, outdoor recreation, attention to cultural resources, attention to grazing. And so managing these lands for the number of public uses is really important for everybody.
The new rules also include an increase in royalty rates for oil and gas companies. The BLM says this is the first increase in more than 100 years. Federal water managers recently discovered damage to plumbing inside the dam that holds back Lake Powell. As Alex Hager with our partners at KUNC reports, conservation groups are worried the damage at Glen Canyon Dam could lead to much bigger issues for the Colorado River.
Climate change is shrinking the nation's second largest reservoir. If it dips much lower, those damaged pipes would be the only way for water to keep flowing into the Grand Canyon and onto big cities like Los Angeles and Phoenix. Eric Balkin is with the nonprofit Glen Canyon Institute.
This is a really big infrastructure problem, and it really has a big impact on how water is managed throughout this whole basin.
Balkin and other conservation groups want policymakers to consider bypassing Glen Canyon Dam entirely as they come up with new rules to share the shrinking river going forward that could require construction inside the dam. I'm Alex Hager.
A missing 13-year-old girl who is a Southern Ute descendant was found last week. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KSUT, and KSJD's Clark Adamitis has more.
Audrina Bartley was found in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the same place she was last seen. She's a Southern Ute tribal descendant, and she has family in Ignacio and Durango. Bartley was adopted by her parents in Albuquerque several years ago. Jontique Velasco is Bartley's aunt, and she helped with the search in the Four Corners area. Velasco says that Bartley might have been planning to head to Durango initially.
I want her to know that she's not in trouble.
Raven Payment is a member of Colorado's Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Task Force. Payment says that the longer the time a person is missing, the harder the search becomes.
People's attention spans are short and they move on to the next thing. So trying to capture people's attention and continue to look for people is just another challenge.
Payment says the best actions for the public to help find a missing person are to post flyers, share information on social media, and volunteer with search teams. Audrina's case was initially highlighted on Colorado's Missing Indigenous Persons Alert system. In the state of Colorado, there are 17 open Missing Indigenous Persons cases, the oldest one dating back to 1979. I'm Clark Adamitis.
A new Navajo documentary, Bad Indian, Hiding in Antelope Canyon, recently premiered at the Phoenix Film Festival. It tackles some tough topics, such as forced removal and boarding schools. It's an intimate depiction of one larger-than-life Navajo legend who evaded the Long Walk and helped those upon their return. Now his relatives run a family-owned tour company near Page at Antelope Canyon and are starting to share his life story of defiance and resilience. Gabriel Pietrazio, with our partners at KJZZ, has more.
Between 1863 and 1866, more than 10,000 Diné were forcibly removed during the Long Walk from their homelands in Arizona to the center of a million-acre reservation known as Bosque Redondo at Fort Sumner in New Mexico. But some found refuge
here, living, hiding, because all the livable areas were all being looked at.
Logan Sinagini is talking about Antelope Canyon.
This would have been the main area back then to stay. As you can see, it's the deepest and the longest.
He's the CFO of Tatadine Tours, one of only 16 operators permitted to guide visitors through this natural treasure on the Navajo Nation. We're deep within the winding Cardiac Canyon, stretching for 2.5 miles, where Tatadini, the subject of this film, once hid out until the Navajo Treaty of 1868 was signed.
You got to think that during the Long Walk, the government had soldiers looking for all these people, and you're basically running for your life. And then those that were captured, it wasn't a good experience for them.
Hundreds died from the cold and starvation along the trail as the U.S. military marched men, women, and children on routes up to 450 miles. A few thousand more passed away once they arrived.
This campaign of the roundup wasn't like they hid here once.
But Tatadini, whose name translates to Corn Pollen Man, avoided it all inside the dark, damp slot canyons and became a Paul Bunyan-like folk hero to those residing in the Western Navajo Agency, including his great-great-grandson, Sinagini.
What actually made this guy who he was to be so big, so strong, and then tough? Because if you weren't tough, then you might not survive.
After Navajos were freed following the 1868 treaty and finally allowed to return home, Tatadini was waiting for them at Antelope Canyon. Lore recounts him even stewarding a flock of 1,000 sheep that he generously shared. Generations later, his family still herd sheep, around 30 or so today. Tatadini and his family also constructed hogans, corrals, and even a stone-made dam inside the desolate canyon to capture rainwater. Without Tatadini, Tatadine Tours may not have been founded by Rita Tatitin Sinagini.
I'm glad that they were good survivors, or else we wouldn't be here.
Tatadini's daughter, Jeanette, attended a boarding school in Tuba City. She often ran away, but one day, Tatadini vowed that his daughter would never be dragged back there again, causing strained relations with the administration. As revealed in the documentary, from a letter written by Walter Runk, a disciplinarian at Tuba City Boarding School.
I would very much like to put Tatitin in chains on general principles, as well as the fact that he's defying me in the matter of schooling his daughter. As soon as you get a hold of Mr. Wilson, go after Mr. Tatitin and bring him in, on a stretcher, if necessary. I believe every Navajo in the vicinity of Tatitin's home will be glad if we get him.
In 1916, 3 men on horseback found Tatadini inside a hogan and fatally shot him. A highly publicized trial ensued. All 3 defendants were acquitted. Newspaper headlines labeled Tatadini as a troublemaker and a bad Indian.
The United States government has told our story, and most of them are not true. It's time that we told our story.
The life of Tatadini isn't taught anywhere, but Navajo cultural advisor Paul Begay of Tatadini Tours insists it should be and hopes that this documentary will help do so.
Imagine there's stories like this everywhere on the Navajo Nation that have never been told. These are true stories that deserve to be in the history books.
Begay also went to Tuba City Boarding School and remembers instructions about Europe.
What about the United States and my people? In hindsight, you think about, why were they teaching me things that's not relevant to me?
And yet, Tatadini's teachings still live on.
Tatadini was very well thought of as a true leader because he thought about his people. And so In my mind, Rita, Tadatin, Logan, being descendants of Haradinaj, carry on that legacy today through their warm hearts.
I'm Gabriel Piatarazzo reporting from Antelope Canyon.
And that's your KZMU News, grassroots community-powered journalism, weekdays on the airwaves at noon and 6 p.m. You can also find KZMU News anytime online at kzmu.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.